In the Amplified Version, it says this: call upon me, and I will answer you. I will show you hidden things, fenced in things, things that no one else would know but God. Hidden wisdom on how to do certain things that only you can with the wisdom of God. So I want you to write this down. I believe it's a word for us this morning. Not part of our message, but it's ringing in my ears. And when something rings in my ears like this, it means that God is saying something. It might mean something to you this morning. Jeremiah 3:33. I got my threes mixed up. I knew it was somewhere around there. Call upon me, and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things, hidden things, fenced in things. I'm giving you a little bit of an amplified version of it. Things that are hidden from sight of man. How many would believe that God lives outside of the sight of man? Way beyond time. God is always on time with his promises. So whatever God has spoken to you, whatever promises that God has given to you, keep it. Put it on the shelf if you don't understand what it says. At some point in time, it will come to pass. Because each and every one of his promises are always yes and amen. All right. Okay, this is it. That's the word for today. Can we go on to our announcement? Dawn is not here this morning, so she's flying in. I've got the announcement this morning. So tithes and offering are in the back, or you can text and give 77977, and the keyword is Oceans AK. You're able to use your phone and be able to do it. And envelopes, if you want to write a check, you can do that and put it in the box in the back. I want to say thank you so much for your financial support to our ministry, for Oceans United. You guys are generous givers. Your generosity is contagious. It's amazing. When I start looking at reports, I start seeing how much God is blessing us. It overwhelms me on what God is doing through the body of Christ, starting here in Oceans United. I'm overwhelmed with what God is able to do through all of us joining in together and do something for the kingdom of God. I'm passing out tax deductible letters for all those that have sown any seed, any amount from last year, 2019, for your taxes. Yes, such a thing as taxes coming up. You got to file those taxes. So this is a good thing for you to be able to use that as a tax deductible gift. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for IRS that allows us to do that. In many other countries, you're not able to do this. So I'm glad for the United States of America, where you are able to deduct tax deductible gifts. Amen. That's awesome that we are able to do this. Anchor Youth is this Wednesday at 6 p.m. If you have any kids between the in the grades of 6 to 12 or 8? 8? 12? 8? 8? 6 to 12. Yes, 6 to 12. I don't know where I got 8. Please have them come. Have them anchored down into something that is worth getting connected with other friends their age. It's this Wednesday at 6. Life group is I've already started. We got some on Fridays, Saturdays. Join one, okay? Join one. This is what we say. We grow in circles, not in rows. It's good to be here in church, but where you're going to grow the most is when you're surrounded by other believers in small groups. So it started on Wednesday. We have some on Wednesday, some on Fridays, and some on Saturdays. So look it up online on our Facebook page and also online on our website. You can see all these information about each group, and you can sign up there and get a little bit more information about it. And we have Grow Track that is starting this Wednesday at what time, John? 6:30, that's right. Grow Track is very important. John and Lori Whitten, they are the ones that are heading this group. It's a life group in itself, and yet again, it's more than just a life group. If you're here and you want to know, you want to get connected to the body, you want to know more about Oceans United, that's the best way to get connected. John and Lori Whitten are heading that out. And then the next one is Coast Guard Appreciation Dinner. That is happening this Friday at 6 p.m. at the Convention Center. I'll be doing the prayer and a couple of other things, I believe. And John is bringing a word. You're speaking. John is the deputy mayor. So he's bringing a word, and Lindsay, president, is going to be speaking. He's the MC of that event. I'm not sure if tickets are available, but you can certainly call the Chamber of Commerce and find out. There's tickets there for sale. I'm not sure. Last year it went out just like that. So call and find out. So, and what else we got? Oh, Singspiration. We're actually hosting Singspiration on February the 16th, it's going to be right here. Our worship team will join in with others, and we're going to have a time of worship where all community is going to be invited to be part of this. So you're going to have churches all over Kodiak. They're going to come and be part of our service, and it's going to be a PM service. I don't know exactly what time. I'll give you more details. Most likely it's going to be about 5 p.m., so that's the way it was last year. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. Amen. All right, let's get in the Word this morning. I am so excited what God, the Word that He's put on my heart this morning. It's about faith. We've been talking about faith for a while. It's faith 2020 or 2020 faith. I don't know if you've had a chance to walk into our new sanctuary last week. We did a walkthrough. The soles of our feet step into God-given ground. Amen. Amen? When we step into those ground, something in the supernatural happened. I felt it. I felt that was a breakthrough right there and then when we set foot on the soil, on the ground that God has given to us. Something happened. Doors are starting to open. We're starting seeing so many things happening as we did this. People throughout this week has been reaching out to me. One way or another, it's pointing towards this building. One way or another, whoever's calling me, reaching out to me, without even knowing, they're not even part of Kodiak. The conversation is geared towards that, towards what God is doing. So God is doing something supernatural. God is on the move. God is on the move and He's saying, move along with me. That is the spirit of faith. Faith is talking about moving in the direction where God is calling. Faith is movement. And sometimes when we think about faith, most of the time we think about faith as such, moving in a straight line forward. Going forward, moving on to something new, straight ahead of us. But a lot of times, faith will cause us to move in a circular motion. In a circular motion, where we think that maybe as we're moving around and going around in circles, it's pointless because of the term going around in circles. It might feel like, oh man, all we're doing is just going around and going around, and we're not gaining anything new. We're just going around and going around in circles. But faith would challenge you and me to keep moving, even if it is moving around in circles. As long as you're in sync with God, that is the key. As long as you're moving in sync with God, you're moving in the right direction. You're not going around in circles. As long as you keep moving and you are in sync with what God is saying, you are moving with Him. You're circling not just around what God has said, you're circling around the promises of God. You're circling around it. You're claiming that ground. You're claiming that promise that God has given to you. So the focus of today's message is this. We're going to go around in circles. We're going to go around and around in circles. For just a hot minute, sounds like dawn. I want to take you on a little journey all the way back to 2016. In 2016, that was before Oceans United was in existence. Okay? For those who are new here, there was two other bodies before Oceans United. There was a church known as Kodiak Assembly of God, which is right here on these premises where we had Kodiak Assembly of God. And then we had Oceans Church. Last year, those two bodies merged, became one body, one family, united under the blood of Jesus, united for Christ. And we created a new body by the name of Oceans United. So I'm putting a little plug there for you, John. That's why you need to go to Grow Track, by the way. Because you'll get to know a little bit about the history of what God did. It's good to know. It's good to know what God did. Because what God did here is nothing short of a miracle. You know why? At some point in time, we circle around that promise. It felt at times that we were not going anywhere forward. But yet again, we were circling around a promise until the promise became ours. Grow Track, this Wednesday, 6:30. In July 2016, Oceans Church moved from the Grand Slam to the Ardinger's building downtown. That was a move forward, by the way. It was a move in the right direction. And as we move forward in the right direction with God, guess what happened? Our rent went up from $600 to $1,900. Wow! Now, that doesn't sound like a move in the right direction. That doesn't sound like that's a move forward, but it was a move in sync with God. That was a 216% increase. It might not sound as much because we live here in Kodiak. 1900 is nothing. But for us, back then in Oceans, at Oceans Church, when there was no congregation, no income, no revenue stream, at all. Our congregation, by the way, was just me, my wife, and our five kids, and our dog. I found myself preaching to Raja for some time. That was it. No source of income, but While I was there, moving forward, mind you, with God, I heard God telling me this. Because I was praying about what is the next move. Where do you want us to go? At some point in time, I just wanted to pack my bags and just go on home. Because at that time, Kodiak did not feel like home. Did not feel like home. Because of all the turmoil, all the chaos around planting a church from nothing, you were wondering whether or not you were in the right place, the right calling, whether God really called you to do this. If God called you to do this, why is this not happening in this time? In the way that I plan it all in my mind, I drafted strategic planning, all kinds of stuff that I had based on my own knowledge on how I saw this church to come through from year one all the way to year five. And yet again, year one, I find myself just struggling to the point of, I just want to pull the plug. It's easier to just pull the plug, count the costs, and leave. But God was saying, you keep moving. Keep moving forward in the direction where I'm calling you, in sync with me. So God spoke those words, and I wrote that down in my journal. A bold prayer, because I was praying. A bold prayer pleases God. A bold prayer pleases God, but a bold move of faith honors God. See, we can pray. It pleases God. God loves it when we get down on our knees and we call on His name. But then He answers. And when He answers, He's expecting us to move. He's expecting us to move. To move beyond what we can see in the natural. See, the way I see it is that if our prayers and our move with God does not challenge us or is not impossible to us, I believe it is an insult for God. If our prayers, our move that we want God to move in our life is not impossible to you and me, I believe it's just an insult for God. You know why? Because if we can do it in our own strength, we do not need divine intervention. God is looking for us to cry out to Him for divine intervention. At this point in time, then you know that it was never about you. In that time when we felt God was saying, you got to let go of this $600, because $600, Don and I were able to do it in our own strength. We were able to do it. It was fine. We can just do this and keep going. But God was saying, would you let go of what you know, what is comfortable, and go to another area where you're going to be challenged to believe me for the impossible? I counted the costs. I'm a numbers guy, so I counted the costs. I'm looking at it there. I'm like, okay, every part of our personal bank account is gone. And I'm totaling this up. I'm like, huh, Don, we got probably maybe three. Maybe we can squeeze in a fourth month, but that would be it. And I'm telling you that will be it, meaning it. It's gone. It's gone and it's gone. It's gone. You pull the plug. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is you, here we come. But God showed up. He said, He told me this, you prayed those bold prayers, and it pleased me that you're praying all these bold prayers. But now I'm asking you for something else. I'm asking you for a bold move. Would you take it a little step further? I've learned to pray giving God everything in my prayer, as if everything depended upon God. But then I've learned to move as if everything depended upon me. I prayed, let me say it again. I prayed, giving it everything that I have, as if it depended upon God only. If it is not God, it's nothing. Then I've learned to move as if everything depended upon me. Prayer by itself, without the corresponding response to what you've heard, means nothing. Just like your faith, without corresponding action, movement, doesn't mean anything. You got to respond to the prayer. When you call upon His name and He's answered you and He showed you those fencing things, things that are hidden, He's expecting you to act upon it. It's not just to show you, just to let you get a little glance at what who He is. He never changes. He's good. He's good yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. But what He's going to ask you to do might challenge your faith. Might challenge what you believe. Might challenge you to the core where it's totally impossible. If I step out into this unknown, either I make it or I go broke or I die. It came to the point where we had to step out into this place called the unknown. That's where you're going to see God show up. That place where you lose sight of the shore and you step into the waters and you keep going until you lose sight completely of the shoreline. Because the quickest way to get back is like, oh, I want to go back home. That was me. When I saw that everything was going away from me, and I'm like, you know, the quickest way is to head back to the shore because that's the comfort. God was saying, would you leave that behind and keep pressing forward? That was the forward movement with God. And we did. We went on and we believed God for the impossible. July the 17th, I went back in my tracking attendance stuff. I track everything. Okay, this is just me. I'm a little OCD when it comes to stuff like that. So I went back to July 17, 2016. Was the first service at Ardinger's. We had 11. That included Don and us, you know, the kids. So we had four. That's pretty amazing. I was like, hey, we've grown. On day one, we've grown. That was pretty amazing. Day one. On February the 25th, 2018, our last service there, we had 90. That is a 718% increase from where we were. Now, if this is not God, I mean, you know, I don't know what it is. God took everything that we had and multiplied that. Above and beyond, overflow to the capacity that when we left there, we had people sitting on the floor on a Sunday service. Same like right here. Every seat occupied. Remember that, Lauren? All of it was occupied. People were coming and sitting in the back of the church, sitting on the floor, and they were fine with it. But then the challenge came to Moses to do something beyond that. Before that growth, God challenged me to do something that I've never done before. Because that growth saw the numbers, and I tell you the numbers, and we can clap, we can celebrate. But there was something else that God asked me to do. Because I asked Him. I call upon Him. I said, would you show me the hidden things? And He did. From that first day, the first service there, God said this, I want you to move in a circular motion. I want you to circle around this building. And that was the Ardinger's building downtown. So I went, first service, early in the morning, before everybody showed up. I planned it that way so that people don't think I'm kind of, you know, I lost my marbles. I went very early in the morning. I went around the building. Several times, I just went around the building, just like God told me. Did not make any sense whatsoever. This is what I was doing. I was just going around the building. And I was going around the building. I was praying. I was calling people from the community to come in. I was calling on people that I've never met to show up at church. I was calling on to all these other businesses, local businesses that were there, for those people to show up at church. And they did. From that moment on, we circled. Then I took a few other people with me. We circled around the building. And then we circled around the block. We started claiming that place, that property right there for God. That was the challenge. Our faith needed to move forward, yes. But then there was another element of faith that God was challenging us into, and that was to circle around His promises. To circle not just one time and not seeing it come to pass, but keep circling around it until you see it come to pass. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Oh man, I've done it one time, Lord, thank you, Jesus, and I don't see it. Maybe that wasn't you. I kept doing it over and over and over again until 11 became 90. Until it became 718% increase. That is the challenge for whatever God is calling you to do. That is the challenge for whatever promise that God has given to you. God is challenging you to circle around the promise that is given to you. Would you not quit? Would you persevere? Would you keep moving forward? Because your circling around the promise of God will never be in vain. What you're doing, you're laying claim over what God has said. If God has promised you financial breakthrough in your life, you keep circling around that promise until you start seeing it come to pass. And while you're circling that promise, God's going to talk to you. God's going to lead you. God's going to guide you. You're going to know the secret things on how to break free from being in debt. Imagine that. God might even tell you, hey, cut off that credit card. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that could be God speaking, telling you to stop charging more when you don't have enough. It might be as simple as that, but yet again, while you're circling the promise of God, God will not be silent. God will speak. God will tell you what you need to do in the practical sense to make it come to pass. Let me be practical one more time. Just like you reading the Word of God, don't just read through the Word of God. Read the Word of God, but circle around the promises that applies to you, that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. If He's revealing something to you, there's a purpose for it. There's a reason why God is bringing out to your remembrance a word. Like this morning it was Jeremiah 33:3. I have no idea why, but that's what it is. So you keep circling around that promise that God has given to you until you start seeing the results. And you don't quit until you do. You don't stop circling around until you start seeing the promise come to pass. That is the key. That is the key. Back then, in 2016, when we started, I mean, you know, when you don't see the results immediately, you start losing hope. You still want to quit after the first round, and you're saying, Lord, where are you? I was hoping you would show up after the first round. But it took several rounds, several days, several weeks, several months, several years even, until breakthrough came. Breakthrough comes sometime in stages. Little bit of breakthrough here in this area. And God is giving you the breakthrough for what you can handle. If everything shows up at one time, you might collapse. Can you imagine if Oceans United existed back in 2016? There might have been a collapse. There might have been something that breaks because it's not in the right timing of God. You're not ready to receive that much. It will break you. So there's a timing with God in everything that He does. He's expecting you and me to be in sync with His movement, with His timing. His timing is always perfect. He's always on time on His promises. Always on time. Always on time. There's a familiar passage in the Bible that God challenges people to go around in circle several times until they laid claim of that promise. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. It says this: Now Jericho was the promised land. Jericho was actually the very first, was not the promised land, I'm sorry, was the very first station or stronghold on the way to the promised land. The promised land was Canaan. But after they crossed over the Jordan, that was the very first place that they had to overcome. It was Jericho. It's like the very first battle after crossing the Jordan. So he says, Now Jericho was securely shut up because of all the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So the city of Jericho was under siege, locked in. Nothing went in, nothing went out. So you would think that, hey, you know what, that's probably the proper way to attack the enemy. There's no food supply coming in. We can cut off their resources and that's it. Let's just attack. Let's just use, you know, back in those days they had those battering rams. Let's just use those and plow right in. But God had a different plan. God had another way to handle this problem called Jericho. So when you call upon God and you ask Him, He will show you those fencing things, those secret things, because no one in their right mind will choose to circle around a fortress like Jericho. Did not make sense whatsoever. But yet again, that was what God prescribed. When God prescribes something, He's expecting you to move along with it, to see the breakthrough. Otherwise, you might just go around and formulate your own ideas on how you want to see the breakthrough, and it'll never come to pass. You'll get a different result each and every time. But when you listen and you heed to the prescribed battle plan of God, you will see the breakthrough. So this is what God gave to Joshua. He said this in verse 3, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear trumpets and ram's horns before the ark. But on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall flat. And the people shall just go in and take possession." Now that was the battle plan that God gave to Joshua. Can you imagine when he went back to his generals and he relate to them, "Guys, battle plan meeting, and everybody's expecting, okay, this is what we're going to do, swords, spears, rams, and we're going to go right in and we're going to plow them down, and this is what we're going to do because God has done it before and he's going to do it again." But God had a different plan. And Joshua came out and said, "Okay, guys, this is how we're going to approach this battle. We are not going to do according to what you've learned, according to the battle plans that you've experienced. We're going to do something brand new. We're going to circle around. We're going to circle around the promise until we conquer the enemy." That was the battle plan. And everybody joined in, and this is what they did. They circled around exactly the way that God prescribed. And guess what? On the 7th day, their faith made a full circle. Their faith in believing what God said was true made a full circle. The wall fell. The moral is very simple. The wall fell just because they listened and they obeyed. When you circle around the promise of God in sync with Him, any wall that is keeping the promises of God out of your life will fall. And you will take charge. You will take ownership of whatever wall is trying to keep you out. God is saying, "You're going to go in and you're going to occupy the land." And that's what they did. That was the very first battle. It was Jericho when they went in and they conquered. After 7 days, God delivered on a promise that he gave to his children 400 years prior to that. See, there is no time stamp on God's promise. There's no expiration date. It's always there. It never changes. It's always, always there. So what promises are you believing God for this morning? What is it that God is putting on your heart and saying, "Would you believe me for that?" And my challenge to you this morning is this: would you keep circling around that promise until you start seeing it come to pass? Would you not give hope? God will always deliver on his promise. He will always deliver. He will always deliver. It's just a matter of time before you start seeing the fruits. It might not be what you're expecting, but yet again, it might be exactly what you need. It might be exactly what you need. Because most of the time, we have no clue what we need. Oh, I just want this, Lord. I want that. Oh, I want to have this. I want to have that. But you might not need it. Whatever you want can actually destroy you. And thank God for Him keeping those things away from you. Because they can actually destroy your life. So keep circling around, not by what you want, but what you need from God. By putting Him first. As you circle around the promise of God, just like the children of Israel, breakthrough came. And besides just breakthrough, three other things came. Number one was perseverance, character, and hope. Faith will produce those things in your life as you circle around the promise of God. You will develop perseverance. It's a tenacity to do whatever God has called you to do, that you will never give up. You will keep pressing forward with God. You will develop character. Character that you can have the same character as Jesus. You will be like Him in the way you behave, in the way you act. You will change and become more and more like Him. You will develop hope. Here's that word again. Confident expectation. That what God promised, He will deliver. You will develop that level of hope. What God has said in your life, He will do it. The word says that we also glory in tribulation. Tribulation means when things are not going our way. When things are not going the way that we are expecting. Because in life, things don't always go the way we expect. Things are always happening in many, many other directions sometimes. But God is saying, would you glory? Would you even rejoice while you're going through tribulation? Knowing that faith in the middle of tribulation will produce those perseverance. And perseverance will produce character. And character will give you hope. It will produce hope. So you can't lose what God has given to you. The promise that He's spoken over you, over your family. Keep it alive. Especially in times of troubles. In times of tribulation. Where sometimes you're walking and you feel like you're walking alone. You feel like maybe God is not even there. But this is what Jesus said. He said that as a promise. He said, in the world, you will have tribulations. You will. It's coming. It's coming. Tribulation is coming. Trouble is coming. But Jesus said this, and that's the promise you need to stand on. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Rejoice while you're going through tribulation, difficult times. Rejoice. Sometimes it's a hard thing to even say. How can I rejoice when I'm going through all these things? I've got this many medical issues going on. I've got so many financial problems. I've got so many problems in my marriage, in my relationships. How can I rejoice? Jesus says, rejoice. Be of good cheer. This is why you can rejoice. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome those tribulations. That same word in the Amplified say this. I have overcome the world. I have deprived the world of the power to harm you. God has removed the sting from the enemy. So while you're going through those tribulations, nothing's going to happen to you. You might as well rejoice. Wake up in the morning, praise God, put a smile on your face, and go about your day, praising Him, moving along your path in sync with Him. Going around your Jericho, going around your Jericho, your troubled times, rejoicing, saying, "My God is with me." His promises says that greater is He who is in me than he that lives in the world. I have victory because of what Jesus has done for me. I will keep pressing forth. I won't quit. I won't give up. That is the word for you this morning. No matter what you're going through, don't quit. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. Whatever promise that God has given to you, He will make sure that it comes to pass. You keep circling around the promises. You keep moving along with God. Stand. We're going back to that place called Jericho. 1,000 years later, after Jericho, the walls fell. Jesus went back to Jericho. There in Jericho, two blind men hailed Jesus just like a taxi. "Hey, Jesus, Son of God, Son of David." And Jesus asked them right there. In Jericho, where the walls fell, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you want me to do for you?" Now that's an odd question when you look at two blind men calling your name, and you ask them the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Is that kind of question even necessary? Absolutely. Jesus wanted them to verbalize, to put into words their need. Jesus already knew what they needed, but Jesus wanted them to respond. Jesus wanted their faith to arise and respond to the only one that can bring about the miracle. You know what else that God revealed to me? Jesus wanted them to circle around that promise. It's as if Jesus handed them a notepad and wrote down that promise on there and said, handed that to them and said, "Would you circle around that promise? Would you make that promise your own?" that you will no longer be blind, that your eyes will be open. By them verbalizing their need, I want to see. I want to see. Jesus delivered on that promise. So as you're getting ready to take communion this morning, I believe Jesus is still here. It might not be Jericho, but Jesus is here. And he's asking you and me the same question. What do you want me to do for you? That's a very personal question. And at the same time that he's asking you that, he's handing you a little notepad with that promise that you already know what you're believing him for. And he's saying to you, would you circle around that promise? Because before you even ask, he already knows. He's handing that notepad to you and say, would you believe that promise for you? Would you circle around that? Would you make it your own? Would you not quit? Would you not give up until you see this promise come to pass? Whatever it might be, it will be different for each and every one of us this morning. My promise that I'm circling around will be totally different from any one of you here. But God is able to answer our prayers when we call upon his name. Call upon me, and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. I will give you a promise, and I will ask you to circle around it. Make it your own. Occupy that place. Take ownership of that promise. Make it your own this morning. As you take the bread, which symbolizes his broken body, a sacrifice that was made for you and for me, would you answer Jesus this question when he's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Would you take and eat? And as we get ready to take the cup, which symbolizes his blood that was shed for you and for me for the remission of our sins, to remove our sins far away from us, Jesus is still asking the same question. What do you want me to do? Father, we worship you. We thank you this morning for meeting us at the point of our need. That, Lord, we will not leave this place the same way we walked in. That, Lord, that you will begin a work inside of us right here, right now. As you've given us the promise of eternal life, Lord. Give us the grace to walk this life. so that sin will no longer have any stronghold over our lives. Let your precious blood, that covenant blood that we have with you, Lord, break every chain of bondage that have bound us for years, months, days. Help those chains to be loosened right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're walking free this morning out of this building. We're going to circle around our promise that you've given to us, Lord God. No longer will we be bound by the enemy. Lord, we rejoice in our freedom, the freedom that you've given to us this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If any of you need prayer,